In my relationships, especially with my spouse, I have a control issue where I always feel like I have to be in control, because when I'm not in control, I feel like things are going to go bad, and it creates a lot of problems in my marriage.
Do you have a pushy person in your life? If you do, give me a call. We're going to help you today deal with pushy people. How do you put up with pushy people, or should you? And what does it mean as a Christian to deal with this in your life? And how to be intentional about it?
Phone lines open. Stephen's going to take your calls. I want to get you on quickly, so call quickly. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. All right, got a question. Let's go to Jennifer. Jennifer is on the line in Georgia with a question. Go ahead, Jennifer.
In my relationships, especially with my spouse, I would like to change me appreciating him more instead of looking at everything that he does and that I wish he would change. I'm very critical, and I have a control issue where I always feel like I have to be in control, because when I'm not in control, I feel like things are going to go bad, and it creates a lot of problems in my marriage. When I was younger, there was a lot of things that happened in my life that I had no control over at the time, and I think I developed this attitude that if I'm not in control, bad things happen. So it's just a pattern of me just keep doing it and keep doing it, and eventually it's going to get easier for me.
There you go. Listen, Jennifer, I think your call is a clear reminder that we can get into these bad habits and we keep doing the same thing over and over. If it's criticism or if it's feeling like I have to be in control, and sometimes we have to just get above it. We have to get high enough. We can kind of see ourselves and look in on ourselves and our marriage and our patterns of communication and say, you know, if I tweak that one thing, If I could just stop doing that and make this a new habit. I mean, this is the way, if you got a weight problem, you know what it is when it comes to changing habits with eating. Changing a few habits can make a big difference. Some people say, hey, I'm going to get rid of sugar, or I'm going to get rid of, eating after dinner at night, or I'm going to add exercise. And they add just a few new habits to their life, and those habits become revolutionary to their health. The same thing works in your marriage. You can change your marriage if you change your habits. I believe that. And let's face it, we've all had pushy people in our life. Maybe you have somebody in your family or someone in your neighborhood or church or someone that you work with or just run across that's pushy. How do you deal with that? How have you dealt with it? How have you been intentional with that? Give me a call at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. We do have some tips for you today and give you some help on dealing with pushy people in your life.
Do this one thing when you have a passive-aggressive spouse. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. This is a big deal, and we see it a lot in counseling. I encourage you, if you have a passive-aggressive person in your life, to use what I call active respect. In other words, I respect you enough that I'm going to treat you like an adult, because your spouse is a person who is an adult. Instead of making excuses or accepting their attitude or behavior, you lovingly hold them accountable. Now, that's a hard thing to do. So can I encourage you, if you have a passive-aggressive person in your life, and it may be your spouse, or it may be a family member or someone at work, focus on the problem. Be clear on your expectations and then lovingly hold them accountable. You're showing them respect and your self-respect. And when you do these things, that's intentional living.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
Honey, can you run a couple of errands for me?
Where?
The pharmacy, the deli, and the car needs gas.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
That's a lot of places to go. Across town, through town, around town. I wish things were more like the Intentional Living mobile app.
Now I'm really confused.
It's everything Intentional Living, all in one place. I downloaded it from my app store, and it's got links to web resources, podcasts, shortcuts to Intentional Living on Facebook and Instagram.
That's great! Let me look at your phone while you run those errands,
Hi, Randy. I just wanted to thank you for the intentional living. I kind of live by that now because it keeps me going. and I'm just graduating from college, and I am kind of floundering as of where do I go now. So I'm trying to be intentional. I'm not as practical as I should be. So I just thank you for giving me the courage, because I am by nature to be a more of a fearful person. But trusting in God and being faithful, I just realized that adding intentionality to that, I can be successful and I can do things that I wouldn't think I could have done before.
Good for you. You know, I look at the definition of intentional as a word that is motivational. It's very directional. It's very focused on some sort of an outcome. And we tell people that Intentional Living Center, our goal is very simple, to motivate, equip, and mentor. Motivate, equip, and mentor. If we can get us off dead center and turn obedience into action, turn the fact that we're followers of Christ into understanding His Word, and then equipping ourselves and being equipped to follow through and to live intentionally for Him, then we've been successful at our part of the kingdom work, what God has called us to. And I think some of the enemies, and she just mentioned it, one of the enemies to intentional living is fear. And I think this thing of dealing with pushy people can be a fear-based thing. We are become pleasers, and it's hard for us to stand up sometimes and just say, wait a minute, I love you, but enough. Can we draw some boundaries? Where do we draw the boundaries? And how do we do that with pushy people? And if you're not the type of person that can do that easily, then how do you approach it? Facebook, you're responding to me here with the question, when pushy people push, how do you respond? Debbie says, I kindly ask them to stop or say no. How do you do that? Just stop. Stop. Michael says, by defining and setting my boundaries, and which, by the way, Michael, something I'm sure you do in advance. One of the strategies for dealing with a pushy person is to plan ahead, because you know certain people are going to be more pushy than others. To be honest with you, like when we were looking at a car this week, you know, we read all the consumer type reports and on different cars, and one of the things they recommend is when you go in to test drive a car, you're just there to test drive. Test drive two or three, whatever it is you're looking for. And that was it, and I defined that very clearly at the beginning. I know it was today. If you sign today, it's going to be a great sale. I said, listen, we're only here for one purpose today. We want to test drive. And I told him, I was very honest, we're not only test driving this car, but we're going to test drive two or three others because we want to know. We want to make a good decision for us. And so defining ahead how you're going to deal with someone in your life who's pushy is a good thing to do. But fear can be one of those factors that really can be a problem. Okay, let me get Mary on the line here from Florida. Mary, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. How do you relate to this topic of pushiness?
Well, yeah, I had to laugh when I heard the topic of the radio station today, because I my husband had actually used that term to define me.
Oh.
before he left for work, and I was like, oh, so I thought I would call in and ask. I've been reading your book on intimacy and my search for that, and my biggest issue is right now is that I've just been simply asking my husband, hey, while we're out in public, you know, we've been married for like 10 years, you know, while we're out in public, would you mind holding my hand? You know, I need that. That means security for me. Would you do that? And maybe I've been mentioning it more than enough, I don't know, but today you use the term pushy, you know, you're being pushy, you shouldn't mention it so much, I'll do it when I get around to it, you know, kind of thing, and I'm like, okay, maybe I messed myself up
yeah.
by doing that. So,
Are you the type of person that does that in other situations, Mary, reminding your husband or others, trying to drive home a point?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I just want to make sure I'm being heard. And he's not one to, you know, he doesn't use the term, let me hear if, you know, you're saying this. He doesn't say that. It's kind of silence, so I mm-hmm. never know if it actually does get through unless he does it.
Well, you know, Mary, there's a difference between expressing ourselves assertively, and I think it's perfectly appropriate in a marriage to say, when this happens, I want you to know how I feel, and giving a positive response. I would suggest perhaps, Mary, you change the word from I need for you to do this or do this
for whatever reason, and I'm not talking to him, so I don't know where his head and heart is on this, but he defines it as feeling that you're being pushy or demanding, like he's not measuring up, would be my guess. I think I would change the wording on that. Assertiveness would say, honey, I want you to know that when we are in public and you do hold my hand, I really appreciate that. That's something that helps me feel more secure, closer to you. It's something I really appreciate. And when he does do it, that you tell him that you appreciate it. But reminding him over and over, I think, can become not only pushy, but nagging. Now, I'm not saying that you're necessarily doing that, but he certainly is perceiving it that way, appears.
Yeah. And I don't want to be that way at all.
So when he does, I'd be all over it with a lot of positive affirmation. But you've expressed yourself. If he's heard it, I know it's a desire of your heart. Pray for him, encourage him, but nagging will never get you there.
Okay.
All right. And by the way, guys, listen, if your wife comes to you and says, you know, I really appreciate it when we're in public if you hold my hand, you'd be a smart guy to hold her hand. Okay? So I'm talking to the guys now. When I was talking to Mary, I was just suggesting how she needs to handle it, because beating him up or nagging is not going to get there. But guys, listen. The Bible says be a swift listener. Hear beyond the words to the heart. But if someone's telling you, hey, you're pushy, I would really want to explore that. Give me some examples of what I'm pushy and what does that feel like to you, so you know how you're coming across. Because remember, here's one of the statements we teach all around the country from Intentional Living. We judge ourselves by our intentions. Other people judge us by our actions. And if your intentions are not what is being heard or felt by a person that you love, then you better clarify it, because you're missing being intentional in your life. All right, JC's on the line in Michigan. JC, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Appreciate your call. What about habits? What are some things you're working on?
Before, when I would get angry, I would hold it in, just kind of let it build up. I wouldn't want to talk about it. And my husband could always sense that something was wrong. So lately, I've been working on sitting down and talking to him about how I'm feeling, even if it's something little that he wouldn't think is important. If it's bothering me, I'll talk to him about it. He can help me through it, and it's helped us be able to open up with each other more.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you hold back? You just felt like it wasn't worth sharing it, or wasn't that important?
Yeah, or it was silly or something I shouldn't be emotional about, you know, so I would just kind of hold it in, but then it would bug at me and I would just be grumpy the whole day, and he would be like, what is bothering you? You know, and finally I just realized I'll tell him, and he will either just hold me if I start to cry, or we'll talk through it, or he'll say, yeah, I know what you mean. That would bother me too.
And what difference has it made in your marriage?
Well, we can open up to each other more, even on a day-to-day basis. Little things that, you know, will be like, oh, well, that bothers me when you do that, or, I love it when you do that, or something. It's easier to share those little things, and it just kind of brought us closer together.
That's good. So you've developed the love habit to be short accounts. If you got an issue, bring it out, get it on the table, and discuss it.
Yeah. And even if it's my own issue that, you know, has nothing to do with him, if it's drama with a friend or whatever, I can talk to him about it, and then it's not just building up inside of me, and he's able to help. So
that's good.
It's been great.
All right. Thank you, JC. Glad you're listening to Michigan today.
Yes. Thank you.
Hey, did you know you're part of the family? Yeah, you. That's why you're listening right now. And here's a way you can really feel the familyness. Join Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving. Just click like, and instantly you'll have more than 100,000 other family members, including Dr. Randy, ready to encourage you in your intentional life. You never know. God might use you to encourage someone else. So come on in. That's Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
I wanted to share one of my life lessons, and I think it was an intentional decision that I made. I always felt like I was encouraging my husband, and really I think he was taking it as discouragement, and I always wanted him to lead our family, but I wanted him to lead my way. So I made an intentional decision that I would be silent, like the Bible says, and I prayed that if there was anything that God wanted my husband to know, that he would be the one to tell him, you know, some other way besides my mouth. He's begun to lead, and it's not the way that I would have, but it's the way that God wants us to go. And I just wanted to share that because you get a lot of calls of women asking, you know, how could they let their husband lead? And I think it's to pray that God will show them how to lead and for us to keep our mouths quiet. Thank you.
Wow. Hey, listen, thank you. And I agree with you. And I'll tell you, I'm smiling on the inside because I know there are those who would hear what you just heard and say, there's a wimpy Christian woman who's just submitting to her marriage or to her husband, and she has no strength and no conviction. Now, you may be feeling that as you hear a testimony like that. But I'll tell you, that caller was sharing from the depth of her heart how intentional she's been, how she's choosing not to be pushy, at the same time to be assertive in her prayer life, assertive in sharing what she felt, and then living intentionally. Do you agree with that? Okay, Cindy's on the line in Michigan. Cindy, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. You have a pushy person in your life?
Well, I've had several pushy people in my life, but the latest, and I've had to end the relationships. The latest one was she was very pushy and asked to me to take her to the pharmacy, which I had no problem. And then, you know, I can pay you gas money. Then can you maybe just pay for this prescription for me? It's only a dollar. Or, you know, I went to the hospital, was in the hospital a few days, and she used my car, drove out all of my gas from a full tank. She has taken my my license off my car and used it on another vehicle.
Hello. Now we're sliding from just being pushy to breaking the law. How have you dealt with it, Cindy?
Well, I have the last time I talked to her, she was yelling at me, and so I've ended it and only talked to her by Facebook.
And sometimes, Cindy, that's what has to happen. There are people, let's be very candid here and straightforward. There are some people who have a very low level of awareness. They don't think they're doing something inappropriate. They don't feel they're being pushy. That just the way they're raised or the way they think, they're not aware of how their actions or behaviors are impacting another person. And when you're dealing with a person with a low degree of awareness, you can beat your head against the wall trying to talk about it. You can beat your head against the wall trying to come to some agreement or even putting boundaries in place, and they will disregard them because they don't have an awareness level of what's going on, as you should as adults. And with individuals like that, the boundaries have to be very clear. And at times, unfortunately, in life, you have to cut off some relationships. We've done programs on how to be intentional, because not all relationships are good for you. Not all relationships are healthy for you. And there are times and seasons when there has to be boundaries put in place, limits put in place, and to do that intentionally is not easy, but it's the right thing to do. And you do it carefully. I mean, as Christians, our ultimate goal is to reach people for Christ and to serve others. But without boundaries, we can get into all of these kinds of relationships where they're not well-defined what the nature of the relationship is. Is this a ministry, a friendship? Is this a service? What is it? And each of those roles of relationships need to be defined. Then when you approach someone, if it's a ministry, you know what you're going to get. If it's a friendship, then you know what you're going to get. So defining relationships is an important thing to do in this thing of dealing with pushy people. 888-888-1717.
Do this one thing when your emotions get hijacked. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I encourage you, when you have emotions that get hijacked and they run away with your life, to identify the triggers that set them off. Maybe it's the kids when they behave in a certain way. Maybe it's certain words that trigger an emotional response that later you regret. Or maybe it's when you're tired. Watch for whatever the triggers are and then find an emotional safety to put on that trigger. I recently completed a book called Freedom from Hijacked Emotions. And in that book, I remind the readers that we are to be strong in the Lord and in His strength. We see that in Ephesians chapter 10. When you do these things intentionally and you make sure you keep that safety on, that trigger, that's what you're doing to be intentional with your hijacked emotions.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
Remember when tying a string around your finger helped remind you of something? Well, it's not a thing anymore since that one guy ruined it for the rest of us.
That's really tight. I can't feel my finger anymore. Help!
That's why at the Intentional Living Store, you can get your own wristband. It's a physical reminder that the intentional life is lived one right thing at a time. And when you use that wristband, the Power of One Thing book, and the free online Intentional One Thing Challenge, you'll go from good intentions to developing transformational habits. The Intentional Living Store at theintentionallife.com.
I made a statement before we went into this little break, this thing of defining roles. I think it's important in relationships to really understand that every relationship has a different role. There's a difference between a friendship and a ministry. Now, if you have a friend, which should be built on equality in terms of interest and desires, that you share values, you're moving in the same direction, there's not an inequality in terms of one being dominant over another, that's not a friendship. If you're in a relationship with friends where you have to walk on eggshells and always be in a position where you're subservient, you can't share your feelings or your thoughts without them being offended, that's not a healthy relationship. Or if you're always in a position where they're pushing and you have to follow and you can't share with each other, that's not a healthy relationship. Now, you may have a ministry to a person who's pushy, and you may have a ministry where you're reaching out and helping that kind of person or that person, but you know when you go in, you've defined it. You know the nature of that relationship. Now, when it's a family member, it's more complicated. It's more difficult. Because in that kind of a relationship, you know, you can't just eliminate it as easily. You can't just cut that off or redefine it. It's your family, and that's a definition in and of itself. I think Jack sort of relates to this in terms of family. Jack, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It says here that your mom is your pushy person.
Yeah, you know, I'm an older guy who does live with his mom. We help each other out, and, you know, she is a little pushy.
What does that look like?
I'm sorry?
What does that pushiness look like or feel like? What happens?
Well, one of the things that hit was you said, you know, they want things their way. They don't think about other people's feelings. That's one of her things. I love her, so it's something I deal with, and she's not a Christian. So as being a Christian, I try to tolerate a lot of it and try to be a good example for Christ.
Now, are you living there out of necessity, or are you there to serve her?
No, we are basically just help each other out, you know, on the bills and everything, and I'm trying to move up in life, and so, it's just cheaper to live together. It happened when the whole recession thing happened.
Now, does she feel, do you think, entitled to be able to treat you with the pushiness because she still sees you still, quote-unquote, as her little boy?
Yeah, I mean, she probably does a little. I mean, don't get me wrong. We get along because it's gotten a lot better. So we get along pretty good. But, you know, I am an adult. And so I do need my space as well. You know, mm-hmm. I run a business and sometimes I'm really busy.
But does she treat you like an adult?
I'm sorry?
Does she treat you like an adult?
Yeah, she treats me like an adult, yeah.
Okay, it's more just the pushiness of when she speaks, she wants it her way.
Yeah, you know, she, like you said, she was raised in Europe, so she was raised a little differently. I tell you, when you're not a Christian, it's hard for you to understand these things.
That's true. I would suggest? You have a heart where you want to minister to your mom, you want her to come to Christ. And so whenever we have that attitude of saying, hey, this is a ministry I'm taking on, not only a relationship with my mom. Let's be honest. We got to turn the other cheek. The Bible even says that. We're going to have to take a little grief from time to time. Our goal isn't just to change somebody's behavior. We want to present them to Christ so their hearts can be radically changed. And so you're going to have to probably put up with some of this. But in a real practical sense, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a plan of action. You know the buttons that your mom can push, and you know that the times and situations that can occur when she can get pushy with you. So you need to have a plan of action. When those things occur, what you're going to do. It can either be that you're going to defer the decision to say, well, I'll think about that and get back to you. Or you can say, you know, Mom, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I don't see it that way. And there's really nothing I can do at this point. Or you can talk about this in a future sense of saying, well, I'll tell you what, let's not talk about that today, but I'll tell you what, I'll sit down with you tomorrow and let's discuss that and see if we can come up with a plan of action. But if you don't do those kinds of things and have reasonable boundaries in place, then you simply have to put up with it as long as you're in the home. Obviously, that's one of the downsides, I think, when kids, and there's more and more kids coming home and living with parents, and parents don't see their roles any different many times and treat their kids as kids. Kids are coming home and expected to be treated like adults, and yet they're having to be under the authority of their parents economically and so on, which creates an ongoing tension point. So those are some things that I think work with pushy people, and I hope it helps you, Jack. Thanks for calling.
Dr. Randy, I want to thank you for this whole movement towards intentional living. I greatly appreciate it. I am divorced. I tried very hard to save my marriage. I have intentionally lived my life to honor God, to reach out and do good to other people, to pray for my ex, and even try to do good for him in an indirect way. I believe that all of us can live intentionally to serve others, and by serving others, we honor God. And I want to thank you very much for this ministry.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you. Glad to be a part of your life. Let me close with a couple of verses from Scripture. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:13, he says, "So think clearly and exercise self-control. In your relationships, keep your thinking straight, defining the roles and the nature of the relationship. Tell yourself the truth. You don't always have to be right or always in control. It's okay at times to have people push you in your life because there's a bigger picture here, and that is that you want to minister to them." So Peter says, think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Christ Jesus is revealed in the world. And then James says in James 1:19 and 20, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." So if you find yourself getting angry toward pushy people in your life, back off, pray, get a perspective, and it's okay to put some healthy boundaries in place. Tori says on Facebook, "When I have a pushy person, I get my wife, and she defends me like a Wolverine." There's a solution for you. We'll see you next time.